numbered.
Yeah.
And then they're either there's a fork in the road.
Yeah.
And they either go to the wall.
Yeah.
Or they go to Christmas gift basket.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's the marble box on the floor. The Christmas. It's a gift basket that I designed. So they either go kind of bourgeois this way or kind of bourgeois art kind of context.
Uh-huh.
So they, a few go into that, you know, and a few might go to some, you know, people that helped on the exhibition, you know, like gifts and things.
Uh-huh. And this is your design?
Yeah, it's a marble box. It's a marble Mephisto box from another exhibition. Where we made 25 of these, so it's Greek marble.
Yeah.
There's a table, kind of a weird table shape.
Yeah. And
you came around on solid ground. Yes, who are you to complain anyway? Put it in a letter, baby, if you really want to, if you really care to.
Ja, hallo. Im Studio darf ich begrüßen Jochen Volz und you, Rocco, oder? What's your name again, please? Ah, okay. Pocock. He gave me a bottle with Porticus water. It's really brownish and it's from the rain. Okay, would you like to say something?
Ask me a question. What would you like to talk about?
I like to talk about the project in the Porticus. And it's you are part of the exhibition from Jason Rhodes. And you just try to drill water near the porticos. And I would like to know what kind of taking part of a process did you try?
Sure. The project is called Drilling a Well, the Source of Water. And it's a project we've been working on for about six months or so, and what it is about the act of drilling a well through different types of sites, mainly art sites, in order to procure water, which is, in this case, when it comes from an art site, a type of ready-made art material. It is a material that can then be put into the process of art, just like it is put into the process of all other kind of organic systems. The water itself is a kind of base ready-made that then is added as a kind of ingredient to other things, which then turn into art. With this, it was a matter of drilling with a one-man drilling machine through the ground.
Yeah.
All right.
You have to go closer.
Closer, yeah.
Okay.
closer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. How's that?
Yeah, it's better.
All right.
But really go through the microphone.
Okay. All right.
Also wir sprechen.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jetzt, wir sprechen über die Portikus-Ausstellung von Jason Rhodes und Hugh Pocock. Und er hat jetzt gerade erklärt, wie es sozusagen dazu kommt, Portikuswasser neben dem Portikus zu bohren. Ja, Jeff.
So, Jason heard that I was doing this project, and he needs to have water from the porticus as part of his project there, as an ingredient. And he asked me to come in and do this act and of drilling through the ground to get water. So I've been here for the past about two weeks. Drilling. Once got here and began drilling, kind of discovered that not only am I on the site of the bombed library, but actually inside of the library. So underneath the ground is about five meters of building rubble, bricks, wood, stone, metal, all kinds of material. So this is an extremely difficult place to drill. The activity of drilling is all about the attempt at getting at water, about the boring through the ground to the groundwater. And all the problems and situations and challenges that one would get into to try to do this, to try to get some water out of the ground. In this case, the drill and the ground did not get along as well as they could to form this kind of sexual union to bring out water.
Sexual union.
Yeah, boring into the ground with a machine and then to bring water out. So their kind of chemistry together did not actually produce product. So in the face of this, looked around for other sources of water, and this source of water is the rain, which falls all over the place, of course, and also onto the roof of Porticus. So I'm catching it through a drain pipe in a barrel, and so it is Porticus water as the rain hits the roof of Porticus and runs off and kind of absorbs whatever comes out of Porticus daily anyway. So, and we'll be bottling that water, and Jason will be adding that to his project, and I'll be using the water for some of my own work as well, which will include probably boiling it and watering a small apple tree at the rear of Porticus.
An apple tree?
Small dwarf apple tree, which will be watered and grow, and the apples will get ripe. So if then people, whoever waters it regularly, I hope will take the opportunity to eat one of the apples. So they will then turn into an art project as well. The water will fall on the roof of Porticus, go down the drain pipe, into the barrel, into the watering can, into the container holding the apple tree, then into the apples, then into whoever eats them, and so forth. So it will continue on. So the water is just kind of traveling through people and things and objects and sort of imbuing this with kind of an art process as it goes.
Okay.
There you are. You asked me.
Ja, Jochen, du bist sozusagen Kurator dieser Ausstellung. Wie kommt es zu dieser zusammenhängt. Also Jason hat you dazu eingeladen, aber ihr habt Jason eingeladen, Jason Rhodes. Was ist das sozusagen für eine Art von Kunst, die da jetzt präsentiert wird? Wir haben ja jetzt eine Erklärung gehört, also dass Wasserbohren sogar ein sexueller Prozess sein soll.
Also ich denke, dass die also wir haben Jason Rhodes eingeladen und Jason hat selber festgestellt, dass er eben auch das kann man ja noch erklären, was der ganze Prozess dieser Ausstellung ist, aber dass er dazu Wasser benötigt und dass er eigentlich gerne auch einen Bezug zum Ort herstellen möchte. Und das sind auch Prozesse oder Vorgänge, die Jason in anderen Arbeiten selber auch schon benutzt hat. In dem Fall wollte er eben Grundwasser haben und hat davon gehört, dass sein ehemaliger Studienkollege Hugh Pocock, dass der im Moment daran arbeitet, an so einem Projekt, und hat ihn dann eingeladen, dann machen wir das doch zusammen. Du probierst, wie es funktioniert, in einem Kunstraum, in einem Kunstkontext nach Wasser zu bohren und damit eben dieses Art Water zu bekommen. Und ich kann dieses Wasser benutzen, gleichzeitig als eine Ingredienz meiner Jardiniera oder meines Potpourri. Die beiden Produkte, die hergestellt werden in dieser Anlage, die Jason im Portikus installiert hat.
Ja, jetzt ist das ist a result hier in this bottle. Also hier steht eine Flasche mit Portikus Wasser und es ist einfach sehr dunkles, braunes, grünes Wasser. Do you want to use this for the gallons with the vegetables?
Of course.
Well, that's Jason's project, but I think that he's intending on using the water that comes from Porticus for
yeah.
the vegetables. Yeah.
And what do we have to think about this brownish water?
Eigentlich ist es ja so, dass die Jardiniera ist ein Produkt, was man herstellt für die Notlage. Also das ist eigentlich so ist eine Möglichkeit, Gemüse und Kräuter so einzulegen, dass sie im Notfall irgendwann mal benutzt werden können.
Yeah.
Und ehrlich gesagt, im Notfall, das heißt, es würde ein Hochwasser geben oder ein Tornado über die Gegend fliegen und man hat dann nur noch das, dann wäre es mir eigentlich auch egal, ob es jetzt ein bisschen bräunliches Wasser ist oder nicht. Regenwasser ist halt nicht ganz klar.
Aha. Okay. Yeah. Oder soll das einfach auch dann mit in das Regal gestellt werden? Also das Porticus Wasser an sich.
She's asking whether the Porticus water will be part of the 1,000 gallon wall. And no, it's a separate piece. It's use piece. Basically.
Yeah, my piece is the drilling of the well and the procuring of the water. And Jason's piece is the perfect process. And the half gallons of water that are jarred are the one place where our two projects meet. He uses some of the water for his project. I'm going to be using it for some work of mine. And the half gallons, like we have here, are half gallons for sale. That they are joint work between Jason and myself.
Okay, also was ich noch fragen wollte, und das hat eben, was ich vorhin schon sagte, das mit diesen langen Beziehungen zu tun. Also Jason und you kennen sich schon over a long time, you know Jason.
Yeah, for like 12, 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to get water, also und um Wasser zu kriegen oder um Gemüse einzulegen, das auch haltbar gemacht werden muss für eine lange Zeit oder für Notzeiten aufbewahrt werden muss. Das zeigt ja eigentlich, dass dieser Prozess, der dort abläuft im Portikus, dass der sozusagen auch mit, die, ich glaube, die ästhetische Qualität ist tatsächlich die Dauer, also die Dauer als Prozess wahrnehmer machen werden zu lassen?
Das sind wahrscheinlich zwei Sachen. Also die Dauer, von was du jetzt sprichst, ist ja auch diese, dass es für eine lange Zeit, also dass sowohl eine lange Freundschaft oder Bekanntschaft Basis ist der gemeinsamen Ausstellung und gleichzeitig Galonen hergestellt werden, mit einer Essenz gefüllt, die auch für lange halten. Aber ich denke, das hat auf jeden Fall eine Qualität. Und ich denke aber, ein großer Fokus von Jason ist der Prozess als solches. Und das ist eigentlich wieder eine Parallele, die sich auch mit Hughes Arbeit zeigt. Denn es ist nicht, das Wichtige ist nicht, das Wasser wirklich gefunden zu haben, sondern sich 2 Wochen hinzustellen mit einem unglaublichen Kraftaufwand, das zu versuchen, auch finanziellen Aufwand und technischem Aufwand, das zu versuchen und dann eben auch sagen zu müssen, es geht nicht, wir schaffen es nicht, wir kommen durch diesen Grund nicht durch, wir müssen eine neue Arbeit überlegen. Und er hat in einer Nacht dann sich eben gesagt, okay, dann muss man halt das andere Wasser nehmen, das, was oben kommt. Und bei Jason, denke ich, ist auch sein Hauptaugenmerk liegt innerhalb dieser Fabrik, wie man es nennen kann, oder in dieser Produktionsstätte, dieser Kostner Essenz, dieses ist ja auch ein Titel der Arbeit, ist Perfect Process. Und dieser Perfect Process ist eigentlich für mich schon die Qualität der Arbeit. Dass alle Schritte so perfekt choreografiert sind. Das sind auf der einen Seite Restriktionen gegenüber den Arbeitern, die dort arbeiten. Auf der anderen Seite räumt er an vielen Stellen eben exakt Freiräume ein, wo sie sich entscheiden können, wie zum Beispiel in welcher Zusammenstellung die Gemüse eingelegt werden. Und diese perfekte Choreografierung des Ganzen und natürlich auch eine Disziplin der einzelnen Leute, die dort arbeiten, eine Idee von perfektem Hand-in-Hand-Arbeiten, dass jemand selber Initiative ergreift, bestimmte Dinge zu verbessern, die besser werden könnten. Und zwar gibt es so eine Pseudo-Richtung der Arbeit, nämlich die Richtung zu den 1000 Gallon, die dann schlussendlich im Regal stehen werden. Aber es ist völlig unklar, ob die jemals erreicht werden. Also vielleicht schaffen unsere Leute es nicht, diese 1000 Gallon zu fabrizieren. Vielleicht schaffen sie auch viel mehr. Also bei 1000 wird dann aufgehört. Das ist dann irgendwann einfach Schluss. Dann ist es zwar eine komplette Arbeit, aber Jason selbst ist sich zum Beispiel völlig unklar, ob diese Arbeit als autonome Skulptur oder Plastik dann weiter existieren wird, sondern oder ob er sie vielleicht in einer anderen Arbeit wiederverwendet. Also einfach das Produkt der jetzigen Ausstellung in einer nächsten künstlerischen Arbeit weiterverwendet. Und das damit kommt man wieder auf so eine Dauer. Also vielleicht lebt dieses jetzt erstellte Kunstwerk dann in einer ganz anderen Form nochmal weiter fort in einem anderen Werkzusammenhang von Jason. Ja. So wie jetzt in der Ausstellung zum Beispiel die ganzen Gemüse rekurrieren auf frühere Arbeiten. Also sei es, ob er mit Kartoffeln und Zwiebeln und Knoblauch bereits mit 15 seine ganz frühe Arbeit, wo er sich einen Acker gemietet hat, dort Knoblauch und Zwiebeln angebaut hat, die dann von Tür zu Tür verkauft hat und da mit dem Erlös wieder die Miete und die Pflänzchen, Samen für die nächste Ernte gekauft hat. Also so ein Prozess, der einfach perfekt durchläuft, aber sich gerade so selbst trägt.
Also der Jason versteht ja auch, sagen wir mal, den Mensch als eine Art von Skulptur, dass wenn man Knoblauch isst, dann fängt man ja an, anders zu riechen. Und das ist, man verbreitet sich dann auch sozusagen anders in seiner Umwelt. Und die Frage wäre, vielleicht kannst du das an Yu stellen, ob Wasser eine ähnliche, also für ihn eine ähnliche Qualität hat.
We talked about that once. You were saying that
sculpture.
That the water as a material for you also, like she was making the comparison to Jason talking about the garlic. If somebody eats garlic, they eat the fruit, the vegetable. But they're basically a sculpture because they are within their skin, within their form, but they spread out in the world as a smell. And she's asking for the comparison or for a parallel maybe to the water. And I know that we were talking about it, like what you will be using this water for after you have it, like after you have procured in either way, and then how it spreads through the world.
Well, I read that water is a material that is the most easily absorbed by all other materials, that even steel and hard stone absorb some water. So it seemed to me that water was almost an ideal art material, that like an idea, it can penetrate culture extremely easily. And after the idea, say an idea gets put out, culture absorbs it and then acts in various different ways, and then that act has a repercussion, and then the next step has a repercussion. So that idea travels through but changes, and the same with the water. So when the water hits the roof now of Porticus, it gets then turned into art water, and then it travels down the pipe and into the rain barrel, and then goes through the rain barrel into the jars here. And what I will then be using the water for is then a variety of different actions and activities that then, through the use of the water, get turned into sculpture. Because the water is a kind of an activator. It's a activator, like a ready-made activator, like just add water in this sense, so it just becomes kind of a carrier of content in its way. So I'll be maybe using it to wash clothes. I'll boil it. We're going to see if it's maybe it'll settle, maybe distill it so it can maybe make it drinkable. Then make some coffee with it, feed it to my cat, that kind of thing. And these acts will then, through the use of the Porticus water, become art acts.
Mm-hmm. One question. Also Jason meinte, die Art und Weise, wie dort es jetzt im Portikus anfängt zu riechen, dieser sehr starke Geruch nach langsam verfaulendem Gemüse, also jetzt noch nicht, aber es wird irgendwann so sein bei der Hitze und es wird ja alles auch mit verarbeitet, dass das sehr immer sehr an der Grenze dazu ist, dass Menschen davon auch krank werden können. Und vielleicht kannst du fragen, also wie das mit der Grenze zum Getting... Jason told me this yesterday.
Jason was talking about like how the vegetables are. I mean, it's not
starke Einfluss, impression in durch diesen Geruch dort.
Yeah. Aber es ist ja eigentlich nicht so, dass es nur das Faulen ist. Das sind ja einfach, die werden ja eigentlich geschnitten, bevor sie verfaulen. Sie werden ja, das ist nicht der Fäulnisprozess, der eigentlich riecht, sondern das Geschnittene, diese, natürlich riecht man ganz penetrant, wenn irgendwo eine Zwiebel auf den Boden kommt und ganz viel Gewicht drauf hat, dass sie dann verfault. Aber eigentlich ist es natürlich schon, dass es noch als frisches Gemüse in dieses Potpourri oder in die Giardiniera reinkommt. Und dieser Prozess riecht einfach so intensiv. Aber Jason was talking about like how the fruits at one point start to rotten, and then they start with that smell, and at the one time you have like this nice smell of good garlic, but at the same time you have like, let's say, a rotten onion somewhere, and it's so it's food, but it's also something that can harm other people who consume it.
Yeah.
So is this of any?
Is this immer so an der Grenze? Yeah. Also
it's like on the border between.
On the border between.
No, not really. I like that about Jason's work. I'm not really admirer of his work. I think sort of what I enjoy about working in proximity to Jason's work is that there's kind of a nice gray line between the two, and I've really tried to sort of work so that there are distinctions, yet not precise distinctions, that the work kind of operates in concert with each other. I think collaborative works and works when people work together, they're always kind of they're I never really sort of really see myself working in that way, but I enjoy working in concert with other pieces. And this piece works the best in that way because it is about procuring a material that then is used for something else, and drilling the water, and then so that's the meeting point of the two works, and that's where they come together at that point. After that, the works are separate. And so I think it's kind of a nice way for me to work with another artist, is that to actually either to be a sort of supplier of material. So the performance of drilling, or the performance of then getting water, is then sort of like a supply performance for something else. So I think it works. So this project was one that could work best under that kind of a circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what will be your next project?
I'm going to drill another well.
Another well. Yeah. Well. And a well is used as wells Kostner's?
Well.
Well,
it's used there, but it says also Jason also relates it to Orson Welles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you use it only as well, well.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, dann würde ich sagen. Vielen Dank.
Danke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will play now the interview with Jason. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck with the rest of the raining water. One moment.
I got your telephone number from a fair weather friend. Hate to interrupt your summer, but it's near the end. Sinking like a stone, baby, in the deep blue sea. How insensitive.
So, also jetzt geht es weiter mit dem Interview mit Jason Rhodes. Und,
okay.
Ja.
Could you also viel Spaß.
Explain Gardenia alla Potpourri.
Giardiniera.
Giardiniera.
Giardiniera alla Potpourri.
Yeah.
Yeah, Giardiniera alla Potpourri is basically an American invention. I mean, it's an adaptation of these pickled vegetables from Italy, like in vinegar and oil. What? Oh, train. We're in the world. It's okay. So the Giardiniera, the Giardiniera alla Potpourri is my version, or how it started. What do you want?
Yeah, because there are different influences from other installations from you. And how did you decide the things for this installation? Because there are things from The Perfect World and from More Morals.
More Morals and More Ass. Mm-hmm. There's pieces from Sutter's Mill. There's pieces from Swedish Erotica and Fiero Parts. There's and all the vegetables are based on previous works.
Yeah, and the vegetables in the Giardiniera alla Potpourri, they have new meanings?
Some,
like
I mean, some have new meanings, like I would wanted to work with them again. You know, they have basis in maybe past works or works which I don't consider finished artworks or anything. There was a huge basis of this piece was made from this acre of onions and garlic that I raised when I was 15 as a Future Farmers of America project. And it was plowing the garden. It was near to the area of where this Dijkterhallen garden picture for my father was. And it was to set out to do this project to raise onions and garlic. I liked onions and I liked garlic, so I set out to raise them. From little, you buy them in little newborn pieces, newly made chives. You know, they look like you know, the little baby onions.
Yeah,
shallots things. Mm-hmm. So you buy them like that, and then you set them in the ground, and then they grow up, and then. What happened with the onions was they grew really good, and I put lots of fertilizer on them and weeded them, but they got too big. And they were very good, but they were too big. And I went to
The market. And
yeah.
So you can't sell it.
Yeah, I tried to sell it as the market, as my own crop.
Here the apples, if you try to sell apples, they have norms, and if you don't have the right norm, you can't sell the apples.
Yeah, I mean, this the people were just a little turned off that they were too big, you know, because nobody likes to eat half an onion, you know, because it makes the refrigerator smell, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So people like to eat whole onions.
But now you bring the onions, and that they make people cry in relation to watching Kevin Costner.
There was the Costner. Yeah, the Costner. The basis of the class was to look at the formalism of Kevin Costner, the oeuvre, the complete works. And I was flying back and forth a lot between Europe and LA. And when you're forced to watch these movies two and three times, you know, I realized that you become a sponge, you know, and that if you would let yourself absorb the movie, absorb the experience, you would and just let yourself go, and then at the end of the movie, you know, you're in this tube flying over the ocean, and you're crying, you know, because it's so emotional. And and I always thought it was. I asked a lot of people about it, whether it was from the air in the plane or why I would get so emotional on these flights.
More than in cinema.
Yeah, way more.
Yeah.
Way more. And. And
I never experienced.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of these mysteries of life.
Because I'm always reading.
Yeah. It's the difference, yeah. No, I always like the films, you know, like, because you watch a lot of movies that you wouldn't normally see. Mm. You wouldn't want to do the video rental thing, or you wouldn't... Mm. Like, movies that come on TV, you know, you have to line up right with it, you know. So, I like the activity of in the plane. You know, and this crying thing. And then I also like, you know, chopping the onions, you know, that there's this activity kind of building... taking a form, you know, it's a beautiful, the onion is a very beautiful form, you know, how you chop it.
And it's healing, healing stuff.
Yeah, no, no, garlic, I eat so much garlic, knoblau, you know, it's really good for the blood.
Yeah.
It cleans your blood.
And you just see similarities to the skin, as it has a skin, it's like a sculpture or...
Yeah, I mean, well, how it affects your I like the way garlic in particular, if you eat it, you know, you eat it a lot raw and then it comes out your pores, you know, and it, you know, makes you fart a lot or something,
and
you know.
It makes yourself to a new
form. Yeah, I mean, you smell, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that you as a sculptor, and then there's an ephemera that goes with you, you know, an aura in a way, you know, that because in Europe too, and especially in Germany, more particularly in Nordic places, they don't eat a lot of garlic. So I could be from LA and be eating tons and tons of garlic there.
More than the Europeans.
Oh, way more.
Because in Italy or...
No, in LA,
use a lot of...
Yeah, they do down there, but they don't come up here because they stink, you know? People think that they stink, you know? But I was confronted with this thing where, you know, oh, you eat garlic, and also I get sick from the flying, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm always... No, from, like, colds, right? Sinus stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Terribly.
So, and these things. So every time I land in Europe, I'm always running around trying to find fresh garlic, you know?
Yeah.
Because then if you eat a bunch of garlic and for your sore throat, you know, it helps you.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a combination. And garlic for me, the chopping of the garlic, the cutting of the garlic, I really, I like it as a therapy. It's the only real part of cooking that I really respect, you know, the onions and the garlic. And it's the job that I really not only enjoy, but it's the part that is important to me. So chopping the garlic, I love it, you know. And I used to do it really small, then I started deviating from that, maybe slices, and because it's all how it's released when you heat it just a little bit or when you use it fresh. And, I mean, they're kind of personal usages, but they're things I've kind of learned in the kitchen, you know, like in the chopping. It's like, in a way, chopping garlic is a bit like it's a factory where it's like a building a fence or something. It's like building a beautiful object. It's you have a goal, you know. There's the goal to cook or to make a garlic bread. I really like garlic bread. It's simple. Take the garlic, these things that you'd normally do, pull the skin, chop it that way. I like the way it can be an experience, you know, somehow. I don't know. I think and then in this in the piece the perfect you know the Kausner complex perfect process. I kind of bring these things back through the work, you know, like use the this experience of the garlic cutting or the garlic growing
But if nobody eats the garlic, how should people experience themselves as sculptures?
No, that they. But to see the way the room smells, the roasting of the garlic and the thing. I mean, that's right, the aura of the thing. I'm not. This work
is the smell in the exhibition.
Yeah, the smell, the scent. There's a interesting section of freeway, you know, Autobahn between where I kind of grew up. And then where I kind of first went to art school in San Francisco and Vallejo there. And there's a town that revolves around a garlic dehydrating plant. And mm-hmm. and I really like the way that it, if you drive through this town on the freeway, mm-hmm. whether your windows are up or down or it's raining or something, that the smell sneaks up on you. The roasted dehydrating onions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a dehydrating onion plant. So and there's garlic there also, but so
Americans use this for hamburgers.
Oh. Yeah, on the hamburgers. Yeah, dehydrated garlic. On the yeah, onions on the top.
Okay. Yeah.
So I like mm-hmm. that. I mean, from going, it was my first. Grew up in this one place, and then kind of thrown into this other urban, environment, and I was liked going past there, the smell, and that as a work. Mm. You know, as a piece that it's, and I like that maybe people would drive by the porticus and they would smell it as they go by.
Yeah, it's really
And not be too. We did a lot of tests in LA, but not be too strong that the people there would be too sick by it. You know, so so that's I'm still nervous.
Sick?
No, they could be if I get really if it gets really strong. Like if there's too much of, it could be. I don't know.
It's getting rotten.
No, not rotten. If it just gets too strong for people.
Yeah, because every day they have to work. Students.
Yeah, but students, they work 3 days and then they get paid in with a TV. Yeah. Yeah. Because they don't have a TV and a VCR combo thing.
Yeah.
And because that's the other thing they.
Yeah.
They don't have any contact with the outside world, you know. They don't have this TV.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's important to watch TV, but I mean to have that option, it's really it's important, you know. It's to have a TV, to have that window on the world, you know. It's and the thing was when I first came here to do this guest teaching, I told the people here, I says, "Well, I want you know, what do you need? Do you need anything if you come here and do this job?" I said, "Well, I need TV with a satellite dish, you know, like with CNN, MTV, like the basic stuff." Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And they kind of laughed at me. They're kind of, "Yeah, right." And I was pretty pissed off about that. You know, because it's like you have a simple request and it goes unanswered. And I never had a TV here. Yeah. Through the whole time coming.
Why?
Why?
Nobody organized it?
Yeah, they tried and they, you know, and it was just this thing and I just didn't feel like turning it into a bigger deal than it was, but I was pretty upset. Yeah. I'm still really upset. I mean, if they're going to, yeah, they need it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ask students what do you want?
Yeah.
And What is your feeling about?
Well, it was.
Why are you doing this?
I'm not. The thing is, I'm not the type of a professor or type of a mm-hmm. of a teacher person that would come in and you know put too much of my aesthetics onto other people. I really like people's own initiative. You know what drives them. You know, and I wanted to, and I kept asking if something could grow out of this, right? Mm. I mean, I said, "What do you want to do? I will help you. I mean, I will help you do. I will make, you know, I will help you do anything you want to do. You know, we can achieve anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want?" And then one person would start with, "Oh, I want to be social and I want to do this," and then the other person would say, "Yeah, I want to work as a group, but I want to be individual."
And then, now they have to work for you.
Yeah.
Perfect process.
Yeah, and then this kind of went around and about for a while, and I just said, "No, I mean, I'm interested in looking at this oeuvre of Kevin Costner, you know, looking at mm-hmm. the entire work."
Yeah, and you try to explain the students a way of the art world, how the art world is just working.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I explain that it's kind of a really corrupt system.
Mm.
You know, and that there's a good part of this corruption and that there's
like
and that
it's
one
film business?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that it's not pure it's not pure social system here. I mean here you have this amazing Mensa cult, you know, the cult
in
of the cheap
stadles.
Yeah, the cheap food at the Stadel, and it's oppressive, you know, it keeps the people down, you know, from eating enough good food, you know, like eating a variety of food. Like it's too it's like a social system, I think, coming in and seeing it. I mean, it's great, you know, they can survive for very little money, and that's great, but what that also does is it keeps them in these little worlds, you know, and they don't and they don't want
like
to,
like students in the university.
It's the same, but in a university, I mean, it is a university thing, it is this thing, but in a university you're you go out of that system and you get into a structure, you know, it prepares you for a structure. But the art system just prepares you for, you know, social life, you know, like a social system. You know, it doesn't really kind of prepare you for the.
If you are in a way a famous artist, or
like you're a famous philosopher.
And are you acting like a social system, or more in a egoistic?
No, I live in a very little world. I mean, I have two or three people that I'm around. I mean, I live in a cave. You know, I live in LA, very alone. You know, in a very small system. You know, I don't do the social. I mean, I don't know what famous artist means, but but my world, I always build works for about two or three people, and that's my audience. Not any two or three people, just my motivation is to see the work and to see how two or three people kind of look at it. That's a perfect that's a perfect dynamic, which I call it. It's like a where you have the artist, the viewer, and the work of art, and it's kind of, and all those things are twined together, and that's the basis for this show, was to look at Kevin Costner, and then also to relate that, or to inform that through to Duchamp, which I believe is actually the first artist director. Writer, producer of his own work, and he says somebody that stands in relationship to his work, you know, that's not necessarily, and that I think is a very important point in history, how the artist has developed.
But I don't know, is it, if it is really possible to look at Costner and at Duchamp at the same time.
But that's the problem. That's the problem I ran into, where I said, you know, let's look at these
movies. Is Costner really an artist? Like Duchamp?
Yeah, but that's what I use. I mean, that's what's going to happen in the next work. You'll notice, and there's a rubber stamp in the piece that's unused, and it's called Sum of Wells. And you'll notice the Giardiniera is called Wells of Costner. So it's that's a play on words of the well that we were digging, and also on Orson Welles, because Orson Welles is the pivotal figure, not a pivotal figure, which is a bridge character, bridge figure to Duchamp, right? Which you can that can be established. But I didn't want to give that. I didn't want to give that up. That's too. It's too easy for them. You know, it's not enough of a stretch. You know, it's not enough of a stretch for me, because I mean, to look at the work of Costner, look at the character, you know, look at the formal qualities of the films, you know, I mean, it's a pretty interesting effort, you know. I mean, the stretch there is the stamina you need to, you know, to watch the 22 films or whatever, you know, back to back, 3 to 4 films a night, you know, and dealing with Ten Cup and Field of Dreams and Silverado and Wyatt Earp, you know, really long films too, you know, not easy things to watch, you know. And I'd love how his character stays a little bit consistent through the you know, his image. I mean, when you start talking about Kevin Costner, it does go into that really weird place in your brain within the context of Frankfurt. I felt I talked about a little bit at first. It's something that's set in my brain that's kind of festered there for a while, and then it. I just believe that it. Maybe now is a time to test this. I mean, the Stadel thing I took on just as an experiment, and I then decided to test this looking at Costner on myself and on the people. I mean, it was to try and figure out a way try and look at something and not be just fed this legitimate thing. You know, and yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots of angles on it. I mean, it was fulfilling for me in the end, you know. I mean, I could say, you know, I mean, of course it's hard. Of course it's hard to watch all the, you know, to as a film, but it's a minimal effort, you know. I mean, people, you know, in a normal art context would have to read all this horrible theory and philosophy. Why wouldn't they look at that?
Yeah, that's right. But how would you explain perfectness? You made this perfect world sculpture in Hamburg, and now you have the perfect process.
Perfect world is a post. I mean, there's works from 91 of mine that start out from Jason the Mason, and they go through this Rhodes construction, which was the Carrots were from, and the Pomfritz gun, which was from this piece in Ghent, and various other connections of all the vegetables and stuff. But the works kind of go up to a point, and at the same time, like the new Macintosh.